Good morning. What an absolute pleasure it is to be with you in this phenomenal, precious space and worship with you, and what a joy it is to sing along with these voices that you have here. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I understand from Jun Chol that you have been studying together the book of Exodus, the story of the children of Israel fighting their way out of slavery, and God's making a way for them out of their bondage in Egypt and their arrival in the wilderness. Much to their surprise, they have left one very, very bad situation and found themselves in another very, very difficult situation with no food, no drink, and enemies everywhere they turn. And so we have the story of God providing for them, God providing this still very new, very kind of in an infant stage, this people that will become a nation, but right now they're just leaving this situation of slavery, and God is providing for them food and drink, and God is helping them to prevail against the people who are attacking them. And then they come to this mountain, they come to Mount Sinai, and this terrifying, absolutely terrible event happens. And the mountain is covered in clouds, and there's lightning, and there's thunder, and there's the sound of horns, and the people are so afraid. There's an earthquake. You know what that's like here? It's terrifying. And the description of this, actually, there's some synesthetic imagery here that they hear, they see the voices. Twice in this chapter in Exodus, it's described that the children of Israel see the voices. First, they see the voices of the thunder, and then they see the voice of God. So there's this confusion of senses. Sight and sound is mixed up. They're confused. They're terrified. They tell Moses, "We don't want to talk to God. We'll talk to you. You're safe. But we're afraid. We're afraid." And this comes after they're given these 10 commandments, these 10 things, is maybe a more accurate translation, these 10 things that they're to live by and to hold sacred. And we are told that these are given to them on two stones, that God gives Moses two stone tablets with these words written on them. And if we think about this, this is different than ink on page. God didn't give Moses a scroll, for instance, with the words of the commandments written on them. They're tablets of stone with the words inscribed. We're told they're inscribed by the finger of God. And why is this important? Because the words of God are actually carved away space in this stone tablet. They're actually God creating empty space in the shape of these letters in the midst of this stone tablet. Swedenborg writes that all the truths of the word are contained in these 10 things. It's kind of hard to believe. How could that be? We just read them. How could it be that all the truths of the word are contained in these 10 things? But if we think about the words actually being an empty space that's created in the shape of these letters, but it's the space itself in which an infinity of meanings can infill this space. So how are we going to think about this? We're told that the meaning from the word comes from our interpretation of it. That the spiritual sense of the Bible comes from our reading it and understanding it, interpreting it the best we can, and putting it to useful service in our life. That's the spiritual sense, that's the actual true meaning of the words, not the ink on the page, but it's this infilling of the space that God has created for us in the shape of these words. This allows me to tell you about probably my favorite, most interesting idea that comes out of Jewish mysticism, which is part of what I study in my program, which is that we have the Torah is black words on a white page. And we actually can think about this as black words and white words. That the black words are what we read. It's the text that we read. And the shape of the letters gives us a certain meaning in a certain semantic context, in a certain order. But the letters never touch. But if we read the white words around the black words, they're touching everywhere. There is a connectedness to this inner sense of the meaning that is there in the white words that's not there in the black words. And I think of this as an interesting parallel to the carved out space on the tablets of stone. We read in Swedenborg's writings that the literal sense of the text is represented in the tablets of stone. We think of this as hard, as fixed, as somehow harsh, maybe, but that the spiritual sense is in the engraving, in our living out of these. We have in our tradition, in the Swedenborgian tradition, this litany of the Ten Commandments, which I understand this community recites together monthly during communion. Is that it?
Four times a year. During our communion luncheon.
Four times a year. This is a very, very special ritual that I love dearly. I learned about it first in my community, the Swedenborgian community in Cambridge, when we tend to recite it on Easter. That was when we would recite this. And it's a way of turning these harsh-sounding commandments into quiet, reflective, inward-looking ideas about our own life. Instead of pointing the finger outwards in judgment, it's taking these ideas and turning them inward and considering what they mean for us internally. For sure, there are times when a loud, shouting tone is appropriate. There are times when we are called to hold ourselves and others accountable for our actions in the world, for injustices towards each other and towards the earth. There is a time for that tone. But there's a different kind of truth that comes out when these things are whispered, when these things are said in a quiet tone. And that's where I get the title for my talk today from Soren Kierkegaard, who writes, "Some things are true when whispered that are false when shouted." So I see the Ten Commandments as a kind of test case for this. What is the truth that can come from this, the different kind of truth that can come from this when they are whispered? So we have the literal and the spiritual commandments. We have the stone and the engraving. We have loud commandments and we have whispered interpretation. And so I'll give you just three examples from our litany of the Ten Commandments. On the tablet of stone, we read, "Honor your father and mother." In the space of the engraving, we say, "If we have not rendered respect and affection to those who have nurtured us in your ways, nor sought the true welfare of our country and the nations of the world, if we have defiled the earth that sustains us, if we have failed to remember that all people are our sisters and brothers under your divine parenthood, or have not in fullest measure honored your church, the spiritual mother of us all, have mercy on us, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." On the tablet of stone we read, "You shall not murder." In the space of the engraving we say, "If we have regarded our neighbor with anger, contempt, hatred, malice, or uncharitableness, if we have not forgiven, but have hurt in reputation, freedom, or happiness, if we have injured the spiritual life of anyone, have mercy on us, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." And on the tablet of stone, we read, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." In the space of the engraving, we say, "If we have not spoken the truth, but have called good evil or evil good, if we have loved flattery, equivocation, and deceit, if misleading others to their spiritual detriment, we have not been true witnesses of your healing presence among us, O Lord, forgive our transgressions." In our reading from Swedenborg this morning, we have this wonderful anecdote that he tells, and he's inspired to tell this just as he's finished telling us about the spiritual sense to the Ten Commandments. So he's finished giving us this beautiful interpretation of an inner meaning to these commandments, and then he tells this story. He says, in its letter, the word is like a case that has precious stones, pearls, and gems laid out in a pattern inside. When we read the word as holy and read it in order to have a useful life, our minds have thoughts like a jewel case that someone takes hold of and throws up to heaven. As the jewel case rises, it opens, making the precious things inside accessible to the angels, who are profoundly delighted to see them and to hold them up to the light. The angels' pleasure is shared with us. This process brings angels into association with us and allows them to share with us not only that pleasure, but also their perceptions. So we have this image of a box, a treasure chest, with the pearls and the gemstones, which correspond to certain affections or divine love, and the gemstones to divine wisdom. And they're in rows. They're nicely lined up. And this is like the word before it's been read and interpreted. But when it's read and interpreted, it's tossed up to heaven. The whole thing is just thrown up, and everything is scatters. And the order of these gemstones is lost. But the angels are able to catch them and hold them up to the light and see a new kind of perception, a new kind of light in them. And without our process of throwing them and, you know, interpreting them, that doesn't happen. So in the literal sense, if we leave the word uninterpreted, it's this closed box with rows, ordered rows of gemstones. But the beauty of the pearls and the gemstones is wasted, and it never reaches heaven. It never reaches the angels. But when we live into that space, created for us by the finger of God, then the heavens rejoice. Will you pray with me? Lord, hear our prayer. See our voice. Witness the living and breathing of your holy word in the work of your creation. Meet us where we are in this moment. In our inhale, in our exhale, in the tensing and relaxing of our muscles. Take every anxiety, sadness, anger, insecurity, and pass your hand over the things that haunt us. Bring us relief that we may rest and know you. Engrave your words on our hearts that we may interpret them with our life. And when we are able, help us to open our hearts and take the treasure that is your word and cast it up to heaven with rejoicing. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.